RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Representatives of 15 countries will observe Jakarta gubernatorial election. The Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs to formulate policies for ensuring economic equality. The General Election Commission of Jakarta chapter targets 77% participation of voters. Now the news in detail. Jakarta gubernatorial election will be observed by the representatives of 15 countries. Betty Epsilon Idrus, a commissioner at the Jakarta Election Commission, said the countries include Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, the United States, Australia, and the European Union. She said during a press conference in central Jakarta on Thursday, February the 9th, that this is part of an international agreement and these countries' representatives will act as observers at various polling stations. The General Election Commission has verified and accredited the foreign observers who have been assigned to various polling stations based on several categories. More than 300,000 security personnel will also be deployed in 101 regions nationwide for the simultaneous regional election. The Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs will formulate necessary policies to ensure equitable economic development in Indonesian regions. Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution stated during a working visit to the Special Economic Zone of Mandalika in Central Lombok District, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Saturday, that the ministry had begun disseminating information and making necessary efforts to ensure even development across Indonesia's region. According to Nasution, one of the aims of the Indonesian government's policies is to combine economic growth and equitable inter-regional development by setting up special economic zone or industrial areas. One of the efforts being taken in developing the zones in the tourism sector in several provinces, including the one in Mandalika in Central Lombok District. The government has continued to focus on developing industries engaged in the management of natural resources, such as the palm oil commodity on the islands of Sumatra. Moreover, the development of tourism areas should cater to the needs of infrastructure, security and comfort, as well as health and cleanliness. The General Election Commission of Jakarta chapter has targeted 77 participation level at the Jakarta governor election next week. The commission made various efforts to increase the participation level. The Jakarta Commissioner Dahlia Umar on Saturday said that she hoped that level can be higher than that. She added that the level is higher than the participation level during the 2012 Jakarta governor election, which was at 69%, and the 2014 presidential election at 73%. One of the efforts to increase the participation level, she added, is by disseminating the information on the candidates to the people. Chief of the Jakarta Police Inspector General M. Iriawan has instructed police officers to arrest anyone involved in money politics practices during the Jakarta governor election next week. Iriawan said in Jakarta on Saturday that the intelligence had informed there would be money politics. So he instructed to arrest those involved in it. He added that the police had coordinated with the Jakarta Election Supervisory Board or Bawaslu to monitor the election. In addition to secure the election, he said the police will be supported by the Indonesian military and other institutions. Iriawan also reminded the police to maintain their neutrality and not involve in politics as it will diminish the trust of the people. Last item, Tommy Sugiarto finally won the derby semifinal match against fellow Indonesian Anthony Ginting and got a ticket to the final in the Badminton Thailand Masters 2017. In the semifinal match that lasted 68 minutes in Ninmi Butur Stadium, Bangkok on Saturday, Tommy ensured the final ticket after won in a three-game battle which full of struggle. In the final match, Tommy will be challenged by young players of Thailand Kantapon Wang Charun, who was surprisingly able to penetrate the finals after beating Lee Zia from Malaysia with a score of 15-21, 21-18, 22-20. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Representatives of 15 countries to observe Jakarta gubernatorial election. Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs to formulate policies for ensuring economic equality. The General Election Commission of Jakarta targets 77% participation of voters. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with news from the archipelago, which presents a variety of interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news comes from Central Lampung. Central Lampung Regency Government is ready to market to the entire Indonesia cassava rice or go international. Information compiled from Bandar Lampung on Tuesday said the local district government has established cooperation with a number of modern mini market for the cassava rice market. Central Lampung Regency launched cassava rice, which is a blend or composition of cassava manioc and corn, on Monday. According to the Central Lampung Region, Mustafa, he will cooperate with Indometro company that has been marketing Central Lampung cassava rice in Metro Lampung province. With the cooperation, it is expected to increase the added value of the cassava products, which ultimately impact on the economy of the community, especially cassava farmers. With the current falling prices of cassava rice, this is an effective solution to raise the potential of the cassava plant. In the long term, the development of cassava rice is expected to have an impact on the welfare of cassava farmers in Central Lampung. The next news comes from Biaknum 4, Papua. Tanjung Saruri Waters, located on the edge of the Pacific Ocean in the north coast of Nuempar, Biak, Papua, is worthy of being a marine sports or surfing destination. Head of Tourism Office, Yubelius Usior in Biak, Tuesday said the location of Tanjung Saruri is expected to be featured as Biak Maritime Destination due to the tourism facilities that have been built. The local tourism service continues to promote the beauty of Tanjung Saruri in Biak Island as the most beautiful place for surfing because it is known to have wonderful high waves. Tanjung Saruri, Riebelio said, is still managed by the local community as the owners of customary rights. For the next program, the tourism facilities management in Biak Numfor will be professional so as to generate revenue for the district. This news comes from Bandung, West Java. Cihampelas Terrace, was officially introduced to the public on Saturday, February the 4th. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said the pedestrian bridge or skywalk was born from a dream to organize the city amid soaring land prices. Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil exemplified the arrangement of cities in Japan. The mall, for instance, was built underground to get around the price of land, which had become more expensive. For him, the Cihampelas Terrace is the embodiment of a dream and an idea in the middle of the dynamics and challenges that arise when building the city of Bandung. Cihampelas Terrace development took about 3 months. Emil said development time has been fairly super fast. To build it, the Bandung municipal government spent up to 48.5 billion rupiahs. However, this investment is not comparable with the prospect of a high number of tourists coming to the city. Within a year, Emil said, 6 million tourists have come to Bandung, with money circulated reaching 1 million rupiahs per traveler. In addition, according to Emil, Cihampelas Terrace is the first skywalk in Jakarta. In Indonesia, even in the world, because according to him, the skywalk in New York has a different shape. Emil said Cihampelas Terrace was built with paths that are convenient for pedestrians, even with persons with disabilities. Well, that was news from the archipelago or from Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 2002, the establishment of Red Hand Day or International Day Against the Use of Child Soldiers. February the 12th each year is an annual commemoration day on which pleas are made to political leaders and events are staged around the world to draw attention to the fates of child soldiers, children who are forced to serve as soldiers in wars and armed conflicts. The aim of Red Hand Day is to call for action against this practice and support for children who are affected by it. Children have been used repeatedly as soldiers in recent years, including armed conflicts in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, Sudan, Cote d'Ivoire, Myanmar, Philippines, Colombia, and Palestine. Estimates on the number of children engaging in armed conflicts around the world showed no change between 2006 and 2009. Rehabilitation for child soldiers returned to their communities ranges from inadequate to non-existent. Red Hand Day was initiated in 2002 when the optional protocol to the Convention on the Rights of the Child on the Involvement of Children in Armed Conflict entered into force on February 12, 2002. This protocol was adopted by the General Assembly of the United Nations in May 2000 and currently has signatures from over 100 different nations. Over now to 1809, Charles Darwin was born. Charles Robert Darwin, who was born on February 12, 1809 and passed away on April 19, 1882, was an English naturalist and geologist best known for his contributions to the science of evolution. He established that all species of life have descended over time from common ancestors, and in a joint publication with Alfred Russel Wallace, introduced his scientific theory that this branching pattern of evolution resulted from a process that he called natural selection, in which the struggle for existence has a similar effect to the artificial selection involved in selective breeding. Darwin published his theory of evolution with compelling evidence in his 1859 book on the Origin of Species. Overcoming scientific rejection of earlier concepts of transmutation of species. By 1870s, the scientific community and much of the general public had accepted evolution as a fact. However, many favored competing explanations, and it was not until the emergence of the modern evolutionary synthesis from 1930s to the 1950s that a broad consensus developed in which natural selection was the basic mechanism of evolution. In modified form, Darwin's scientific discovery is the unifying theory of the life sciences explaining the diversity of life. Darwin has been described as one of the most influential figures in human history, and he was honored by burial in Westminster Abbey. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with highlights of the week, which today is on Maluku specially prepared as a national fisheries stockpile. The government is designing Maluku as a typical island-based province. This plan is in accordance with the potential and strength of the region, particularly in the fisheries sector. In connection with that, the government has set up a legal framework and the right budget allocation formula for Maluku. President Joko Widodo said the government is completing an umbrella law that sets Maluku as the stockpile of the national fisheries. The law in question could be a decision of the minister or the president's decision. On the sideline of the National Press Day commemoration in Ambon, Maluku on Thursday, February the 9th, while exhibiting superior products typical of Maluku fishery, the president said that fisheries potential in Maluku is enormous. The central government has set up a development assistance for Maluku as a special characterized islands-based province. The budget aid is prepared in the form of general and special allocation funds. Afterwards, President Joko Widodo also visited Ambon Fisheries High School of Business. Besides visiting the school, the president also inaugurated two operational roll-on, roll-off or RoRo vessels at Yosudarso Ports, Ambon, each with a capacity of 500 gross ton. The first was named Lele Muku, serving Somlaki, a Daud Let Wurung Passage, while the second was named Tanjung Sole, serving Namlea Manipa Waisala Route. Maluku Governor Said Assagaf, who accompanied President, said the development in Maluku, which consists of 1,340 islands, has become a serious challenge for the local government. Besides budget issue, which is not comparable to the needs, the concept of development, which so far has been mainland-oriented, should also be evaluated. Maluku Provincial Government hopes that the central government could help optimize the potential of the marine area that has not been optimally exploited. Maluku people, who generally live in coastal area, depend their livelihood on the marine sector. Meanwhile, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, who accompanied the president, said the sea toll project is being developed to open connections between islands. The program comes with a number of logistic houses for storage of goods. He said that every year there will be the addition of 100 vessels. Ambon, according to Budi Karya Sumadi, is an important point in the sea toll program. The government urges local businesses to support this program. This year, the government asked them to build passenger ships with a capacity of 35 gross ton for transporting people. Well, that was highlight of the week over Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Jakarta gubernatorial election will be observed by the representatives of 15 countries. The coordinating ministry for economic affairs will formulate necessary policies to ensure equitable economic development in Indonesian region. The General Election Commission of Jakarta chapter has targeted 77% participation level at the Jakarta governor election next week. Chief of the Jakarta Police Inspector General M. Iriawan has instructed police officers to arrest anyone involved in money politics practices during the Jakarta governor election. Tommy Sugiarto finally won the Derby badminton semifinal match against fellow Indonesian Anthony Ginting and got a ticket to the final in the Thailand Badminton Masters 2017. That was the end of news in brief. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program which will introduce you to Indonesian places of interest, culture and tradition and cuisine. Today I'm inviting you to taste horok-horok, a special culinary from Jepara, Central Java. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Other than via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast at www.voi.co.id. Jepara in Central Java province is known as the city of carving for the fact that there are so many beautiful carved furniture coming from this city. Aside from that, Jepara also has a variety of delicious as well as typical culinary like horok-horok, which is a type of carbohydrate substituting rice, the Indonesian main staple food. The name horok-horok sounds a little strange even to Indonesian ears, and no one knows how this food gets its name. Horok-horok main ingredient is a kind of sagu powder taken from palm trees. It has become popular since more than 30 years. To obtain the sagu, people from Jepara have to hunt to outside the region such as to Rembang, Pati, and Blora. This palm sago after being cleaned is then steamed until cooked and then cooled. According to one of the sellers, horok-horok in Jepara, making horok-horok is simple, yet takes time. It needs a repeatable process of washing, drying, frying, and steaming so as to obtain horok-horok with savory flavor and chewy texture. There is a myth that the mood of horok-horok makers during the cooking process will greatly affect the outcome. Like when he is angry or upset, then the taste of the horok-horok will not be delicious. It even will likely to fail. In addition, he must also keep his body clean, especially the hands. Otherwise, the horok-horok will turn bad or sour fast. The myth remains a myth. What is important is making horok-horok does require patience because the process is long and maintaining cleanliness in the making is indeed a must. Horok-horok is very easily found in traditional markets in Jepara, like in the afternoon market in Karang Randu, which is the culinary center of Jepara. It is usually presented wrapped in thick leaves or banana leaves and served with bakso, a kind of meatball soup, pecel or urap, a kind of salad made of cooked vegetable with spicy peanut sauce or steamed grated coconut, as you wish.
When served with bakso, horok-horok is eaten as a substitute for the usual rice cake. Horok-horok can even be mixed with certain beverage called wedang horok-horok. For a pack of horok-horok, you just pay 1500 rupiah. Besides the side dishes, of course, which are also inexpensive. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring horok-horok, a special culinary from Jepara. Tomorrow, we will talk again with other interesting topic. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to our regular program Miscellany with me, Alika. Today's edition is about 10 November Institute of Technology creates an air quality detection tool. September November Institute of Technology, or ETS, is Java created an air quality monitoring tool which meets the internationals. This tool is the result of the development of the Air Pollution Control Laboratory in the Department of Environmental Engineering. ETS Laboratory Head of Dr. Ari Dipareza Shafei said that based on data provided by 5 air quality monitoring stations in Surabaya, the air condition in Surabaya often exceed the quality standards. The situation is certainly feared could damage the health of the community. While the data is often lost due to the damage to the monitor, the price of a monitoring tool is very expensive, around 2 billion rupiah. In addition, the repair cost is also expensive. The city government cannot do much when the appliance is not working properly. While in fact, air quality monitoring tool is needed to determine the condition of the air in the region, especially in urban areas. According to Ari, although the price is cheaper, but the new tool which created by ETS has an accuracy of up to 90%. Together with the entire laboratory staff and 2 students, namely Titing Fahriza and Cory Costantia, Ari will continue to develop the tool. The price is much cheaper, that is between 80 to 100 million rupiahs. Unlike the air monitoring tool that uses gas analyzer systems, monitoring tools belonging to the ETS uses some sensors. Ari, who is a doctoral graduate of Hiroshima University in Japan, said that with the electrochemical sensors are used, the air quality monitoring tool created by ETS can distinguish 2 types of pollutants in 2 types of gas, and the use of a sensor that caused the price difference with the tools available today. In the process of making this tool, Ari said that he did not face any significant difficulties, even got the full support from ETS in the presence of local funds. This tool is a realization of the contribution of ETS contribution to the government and society. He also hoped that the air quality gauge it can be installed and used in all regions in Indonesia.
Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Asia Ali in Algeria. He sent his email dated January 10, 2017. In his email, Mr. Asia Ali Ali said that he is a fan of VOI. Hello, Mr. Asia Ali Ali. Thank you very much for your appreciation. You wrote that you listened to our radio through live streaming, but unfortunately, you did not send your reception report of our broadcast. Mr. Asia Ali Ali, would you please send your reception report and give your opinion about the program of VOI broadcasting? Thank you. Well, Mr. Asia Ali Ali, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Hai, selamat bertemu lagi. Aku sudah lama menghindarimu. Sialku lah kau ada di sini. Sungguh tak mudah bagiku. Rasanya tak ingin bernafas lagi. Tegak berdiri di depanmu kini. Sakitnya menusuki jantung ini. Melawan cinta yang ada di hati. Dan upayaku tahu diri tak selamanya berhasil. Muncul terus begini tanpa pernah kita bisa bersama. Pergilah, menghilang sajalah lagi. Bye, selamat berpisah. Meski masih ingin memandangimu, lebih baik kau tiada di sini. Sungguh tak mudah bagiku menghentikan segala. Cuma bisa meradang menjadi yang di sisimu. Membenci nasibku yang tak berubah. Dan upayaku tahu diri tak selamanya berhasil. Bila kau muncul terus. Sama.
Now we will replay an email from Francisco Calvo Garcia in Spain. He wishes us a prosperous New Year 2017. Hello, Mr. Francisco Calvo Garcia. Thank you for your attention. All crews of Voice of Indonesia wish you too a prosperous New Year 2017. We are glad that you sent email on our broadcast. It means you monitor our radio, although you did not send your reception report of our broadcast. So, Mr. Francisco Calvo Garcia, would you please send your reception report of our broadcast? Well, Mr. Francisco Calvo Garcia, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Gracias. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Aku mengerti mengapa begini. Waktu dulu ku tak pernah merindu, tapi saat semuanya berubah, kau jauh dariku, pergi tinggalkan. Mungkin memang ku cinta, mungkin memang ku sesali, pernah tak hiraukan rasamu dulu. Aku hanya ingkari kata hatiku saja, tapi mengapa cinta datang terlambat? Tinggalkanku. hatiku saja, tapi mengapa kini cinta datang terlambat?
You're still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to replay a comment from Justo Calvo Lopez in Spain. He sent his email dated January 6, 2017. In his email, Mr. Justo Calvo Lopez wished you a happy holiday of 2017 to all the staff who work at Voice of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Justo Calvo Lopez. Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. We wish you also happy holiday 2017 and hope you are always healthy. Mr. Justo Calvo Lopez, this year 2017, we will hold again international quiz where the lucky winner will be invited to come to our country. So we remind you to always tune in our radio so that you won't miss the quiz. We hope you will be one of the lucky winners. Well, Mr. Justo Calvo Lopez keeps listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Sekilas di hidupku, namun meninggalkan luka tak terhapus oleh waktu. Tertawa hanya untuk tenangkan jiwa, namun yang ku rasa hampa semua hilang tak tersisa. Bayangkan, rasakan. Bila semua berbalik kepadamu, bayangkan, rasakan. Bila kelak kau yang jadi diriku, terdiam di tengah heningnya coba untuk memaafkan dan lupakan kesedihan. Maaf, sangat sulit kau ucapkan. Selalu ada pembenaran atas hal yang kau lakukan. Jadi diriku.
listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Kini ku tahu bila cinta tak bertumpu pada status. Semua orang tahu bila kita sepasang kekasih, namun status tak menjamin cinta. Kini ku tahu bila cinta tak bertumpu pada lidah bisa berkata, namun hati tak sejalan. Kata-kata tak menjamin cinta. Oh, untuk apa? Untuk apa cinta tanpa kejujuran? Untuk apa cinta? Cinta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Kertas mengingatkanku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.